Psalm 36. The transgression of the wicked saith within his heart, there is no fear of God before his eyes. That there is no fear of God before his eyes. For he flattereth himself in his own eyes, until his iniquity be found to be hateful. Now, the word iniquity there is the word that's sometimes translated mischief, and sometimes it's aven. Now, how do you flatter yourself in your own eyes? Let me read that again. Let's concentrate in this first two verses. The transgression of the wicked saith within his heart that there is no fear of God before his eyes. He doesn't say it in his mouth that there's no fear of God in his eyes. He says it in his heart. And he says it in his heart by what his being does. Can you hear the difference? He flattereth himself in his own eyes, until his iniquity be found to be hateful. All right, let's go on. The words of his mouth are iniquity and deceit. He hath left off to be wise and to do good. He deviseth mischief upon his bed. He setteth himself in a way that is not good. He abhorreth not evil. Those four verses have that word, iniquity, or aven, one, two, in Hebrew it's aven, one, two, three, four times. It's, and the ancient rabbis used to, I mean, this is the definition of a Gentile. Now, what is it that he does? I mean, it's hard to understand that, but what is it that he does? What is it that a Gentile does?
Nothing could touch me.
No. The Gentile deviseth the mischief upon his bed. I mean, in his aloneness, he deviseth a plan. He's got a scheme. He's got a way. He's got a thing that he's going to do. He's got a schedule. He's got an agenda. Yeah. He's got an objective. Do you understand? I pray that somewhere there would be a Hasidic home or a Hebrew home that would have trained up the child to acknowledge God in all his ways and not to do this thing that all Gentiles do, to devise the mischief, to devise the plan, to devise the agenda. Can you see? The problem with this is it's the fish describing the ocean syndrome when we talked about this, because that's all you do. Every time that you're confronted with something, a situation, your first response is not to go to the Lord. The first response is to devise mischief. First of all, the first response is, it's not that all things are of God, and I rest, therefore I rest, I never have to leave the rest. You have defined, either by agendas or by images or by definitions, that whatever state you're in at this moment is not the way you're supposed to be in. And so you devise mischief to get out of it. Or you see something that you want over there, that's what you want, the pride of life, the lust of the eyes, the pride of life, the pride of the eyes. And you devise mischief of how to get it in the future. Both of them are the opposite of faith. Yeah. And that, what that says is that there, when you do that, you're saying to God, your heart is saying to God, there's no fear of God before my eyes. Now, do you understand this?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, the saying there's no fear of God is God won't do anything about it. He's no.
You don't even think that.
No.
You don't even get that far. That's when you're spiritual. You think
start
that far.
Trying to the problems that you do or whatever it is that. I mean, that's what I do.
What I want to know is why did you both times read it as the transgression of the wicked say it within his heart rather than say it within my heart? I'm not being smart about that. Because it says within my heart.
Well, it's the same. It's the same. It's just, that's just, that's implicit. In the Hebrew, it just says, it doesn't.
Heart.
It just says, say it within heart. All right, let's look again and see a bunch of places where we can say this. I'm confusing myself here. The
so
wicked confuseth himself.
The definition of mischief would be what?
Iniquity, Aven.
Oh.
So, all right. Let's just, okay. The words of his mouth are, let's mark the, I'm going to violate my own rule. I'm going to mark these because there's so many of it confuses me. Okay, it's in verse 3, it's iniquity. In verse 4, it's mischief.
Look at verse 2.
It's never a word there. It means it's the word for sin.
Okay.
Go down to verse 12. Workers of iniquity, fallen. That's screwy. I made a mistake. How about this? Okay, let's go. Let's start. Let's look. Oh, I see what I did.
Forget
son of a bitch. No, it's right, but I couldn't figure out what the other one was. Okay, go to, let's go to Job 10. I mean, Job 36.
I love
Job.
I do. Yeah. I didn't used to, but I'm really starting to like
the beginning.
Job 36. This is what God has done. What he's doing with regard to, well, let me read it from the verse 1. Elihu also proceeded and said, suffer me a little, and I will show thee that I have yet to speak on God's behalf. I will fetch my knowledge from afar, and will ascribe righteousness to my Maker. For truly my word shall not be false. He that is perfect in knowledge is with thee. Behold, God is mighty and despiseth not any. He is mighty in strength and wisdom. He preserveth not the life of the wicked, but giveth right to the poor. He withdraweth not his eyes from the righteous, but with kings are they on the throne. Yea, he doth establish them forever, and they are exalted. And if they be found in fetters, and beholden in cords of affliction, then he showeth them their work, and their transgression that they have exceeded. He openeth also their ear to discipline, and commandeth that they return from iniquity. Okay, that iniquity is the word mischief that we've been talking about more. If they obey and serve him, they shall spend their days in prosperity, and their years in pleasures. But if they obey not, they shall perish by the sword, they shall die without knowledge. But the hypocrites in heart heap up wrath, they cry not when he bindeth them, they die in youth. And their life is among the unclean, he delivereth the poor in all his affliction, and openeth their ears in oppression. Even so would he have removed thee out of the strait into a broad place where there is no straitness, and that which should be set on thy table should be full of fatness. But thou hast fulfilled the judgment of the wicked. Judgment and justice take hold on thee, because there is wrath. Beware he, lest he take thee away with his stroke. Then a great ransom cannot deliver thee. Will he esteem thy riches? No, not gold, nor all the forces of strength. Desire not the night when the people are cut off in their place. Take heed, regard not iniquity, for this hast thou chosen rather than affliction. Now, iniquity there in 21. What I want to try to get to your heads and my head is that almost every way in which we have ever thought about God is wrong, because we think about God from the position of our mischief. And so what we think about God in relationship, it's so fundamental that we can only think about God in relationships to our own idolatry. Yeah. And so it's so vital that you understand that the iniquity, the mischief that you get into is because there's no fear of God. Let's go back to Psalm 36. That's the clearest one. That's the transgression of the wicked saith within my heart that there is no fear of God before his eyes, for he flattereth himself in his own eyes until his iniquity be found to be hateful.
Does it mean hateful to God?
Himself.
Himself.
Yeah, until he knows, until he can repent.
Okay. Oh. He won't stop flattering himself until then.
Right. He will continue to devise mischief in his own mind until his own mischief become hateful.
And the essence of that is
there's no preaching.
Flattery.
Yeah. There's no preaching, there's no nothing that can cause that to happen.
Because he sees himself higher.
Yeah, I mean it's just because he can't think outside of that frame of reference. He can only think in relationship to his own experience. He can't think in relationship to any other experience than that which is himself. So he's locked into that self experience. And so his words and his thought processes and our words and thought processes are all locked within our own universe. You remember, the best way to see this is to understand this thing about how you think about time. You know, when you're Sable's age, to wait 3 months is forever.
Yeah, she's always asking me, is that a long time?
Yeah, when at least 3 months is a little bit shorter. When you reach my age, 3 months is whap, because you can only think about time in relationship to your own experience. For Elise, or for Sable, say 1 year, how old is Sable? 5, 6. 1 year is 1/6 of her total experience. So her perception of 1 year is 1/6 of her whole life. And that's like, wow. It'd be like, if I were 60, then 1 year is like 10 years to her. I mean, the same, you understand that?
Yeah, when they first invented cars, I forget whether it was 30 miles an hour or whatever the mileage per hour was, but they believed that, like, if you went a certain speed, your face would be ripped off or something.
But, so your perception of yourself in this area is all skewed, because you can only think about yourself in relationship to your own experience. And so when I tell you, the idea that you flatter yourself in your own eyes, every time that you want to know what to do next, you're flattering yourself in your own eyes. You're, in a sense, you're rising above God. Every time you invent a situation in your mind and describe that, how you want to know how you will react to that, you are creating mischief on your own bed. And all the preaching in the universe will not cause, you cannot repent. You cannot repent until the act of doing that becomes hateful within you. Now, that happened very early to me.
I'm just thinking it's like that. It's like going from the dot back to the line,
right,
or something.
Right. I mean, my own hustle. It happened within, within. God, it must have been. Let me see. Well, it wasn't that early. It took me 2 years before I saw my own how hateful this was, because I It was. I can remember. It was so wild that everything in my own experience said, okay, now I became a believer. And so the only thing I knew how to do as a believer was to put God's name on what I was doing all my life. So it's natural. I think up something. It must be God. Now, I want to put God's input here on what I think up. I know this isn't communicating because it's...
No, it is.
You weren't as much of an egotist as I was. But, I mean, it came over, the issue was over a television station. I had devised the perfect scheme to get a television station. And the perfect scheme was, and you could devise a scheme to get a television station in any market of the United States. Get one free. Get a television station free.
A few years ago, you would say something like that, like I devised the perfect scheme. And I would sit here, and within myself, I would say, oh, come on. But it's now like 2 or 3 years later, and I'm sitting here going, I sure did devise the perfect scheme.
Okay, well, let me tell you what it was. What it was is, and I was convinced it was from God, even though I really, deep somewhere down here in my little toe, I knew it wasn't. But there's an economic theory that says in any market, no matter how many television stations are in that market, one of them is losing money. It's axiomatic. It's at least one losing money. And so what I did is to convince our board of directors, which was like really difficult, that we should go after and create a television system, much like Trinity Broadcasting is doing, all across America. And the first station would be the one here, Channel 39, Doubleday. Doubleday Broadcasting, the Doubleday publishers owned that station. And so this was the ultimate test. This was the test of whether the idea would work. So I hopped on a plane and went and met with the Doubleday Board of Directors and convinced with very simple, well, it wasn't any great sell job, I just explained it. And they agreed to donate Channel 39 to Trinity Foundation. It was just, wow, I was like, I'm in duck soup. And so I could just foresee in my mind, Trinity, either we would create, you know, you could only own 12 stations or whatever the number was at that time. And so we'd have to create different Trinities all over the country, and relatively quick, overnight, Trinity would control a television network. I was really excited. John Plath Green was on my board of directors. He was a huge attorney downtown. Another guy, Cal Habern, was on our board of directors. He had all of the access to Hollywood, the Hollywood world. And so what'd I do? As a nice guy, I went and talked to Pat Robertson because he had just taken over the station that we were involved with at first, Channel 33. And I went to Pat Robertson and I explained our plan to him. And we weren't going to be Christian like the world thinks of it. There wasn't any of that. What we were doing is the daytime programming was sold at cost to the school systems, whether it's the junior college or the high school or the university. And then the nighttime programming is when we would program. And we wouldn't be standard Christian programming. It would be good movies with a meet-need kind of position. It was a great idea. And since Pat Robertson had just taken over that Channel 33, I went to him and said, Pat, I just want to let you know something. And I didn't want to get, I know you're just about to put a lot of money here in Dallas market, and I wanted to let you know that we wouldn't be in competition, because I explained what I'd done with Doubleday and that we were only going to be on at night. I appreciate that, brother, very much. Well, within 4 days, Pat Robertson had made a proposal to Doubleday Broadcasting that he should get the station and not Trinity. And if you doubt this, I've got files that thick to prove it.
We got clips.
So anyway, all of a sudden what happened is the board of directors met and they decided to give it to Pat Robertson instead of to us. And I was just crushed. It was only a minor delay in the planning because I had all the other television markets. You know, I had 235 other markets to go after.
But you cursed a little bit at your brother Pat.
Oh, shit. Furious, but yet I understood it was tested. It's going to work. And all of a sudden, I'm sitting at home. I said, this is bullshit. All I'm doing is running around thinking up stuff and putting God's name on it. And so that's when we quit everything. But we were, I mean, it was pretty close. We could have easily been Trinity Broadcasting Network, but bigger.
Oh,
we're not going to do it.
You'd have to wear a tie.
No, because I know that's not what God wants.
Well, but I mean, you know what it reminds me of? When you talk about people who worship, like the guys who worship Baal, nobody ever thinks of worshiping the false God.
Oh, yeah, I was convinced.
It was like this was going to be the humanitarian, the good thing, and that people would be blessed, and blah, 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 blah. The whole nine yards.
All of that.
What's ironic is the stuff we're doing now has probably had much more impact on the Christian world than on if we'd gotten a station. You know, I mean, in terms of combating TV evangelists and all that.
Who knows? But my point to you is that it doesn't matter whether, as Jackie said, it doesn't matter whether it's a good idea. It doesn't matter whether it's to create a good family or to create a good television network. The mischief is mischief. And that's what prevents you from knowing the fear of God. And it doesn't matter if the mischief is how I'm going to be a better Christian or how I'm going to do it, get it right. It's all this underlying thing called iniquity. And you can't know you're in iniquity until his iniquity be found to be hateful. That's a biggie. I don't know how to cause it to be. I mean, I've been sitting around here preaching for nigh on to 20 years here now. And some people who've been here nigh on to 20 years, they still don't understand that.
Well, it's like it keeps getting knocked off. I mean, it's like you, in the beginning, you come and you lie in your bed and you think, you know, you have this little agenda going, and then after a while, you'll see what that agenda is, and it'll sort of knock off, but then another one comes
in,
and it's like a constant, and they keep getting knocked down, or they,
Preaching is like being in a shooting gallery.
But you gotta, like you said, it's like a taste that you gotta. When you see yourself do it, you just get sick to your stomach.
Yeah, you gotta understand. You've gotta get a taste of the evilness of it.
Yeah.
Alone.
Yeah.
It's one of those, like, it gets simpler over time, as opposed to if you spent 20 years pursuing an education degree. You know, it's kind of like you get more complex.
Yeah.
Here, it gets simpler.
Man, let nothing confuse us with simplicity.
Here, it goes from being confusing to simple.
Amen.
I keep thinking about the thing about flattering himself. We've studied something in the last year or something about our true state is that of a newborn baby that's been deserted in a field someplace and hasn't been.
No, it's.
Remember
what I said?
Hasn't been cleaned, hasn't been rubbed with oil, just left someplace.
It's Ezekiel.
Yeah.
16.
And it's like. Anything other than that is flattering. I mean, it's like, oh, I can do this. I can cause this to happen. I should have, you know, anything other than just laying there completely.
Yeah. Yeah. If you remember that what he's talking about in Ezekiel, it talks about how you've been left alone. You're still tied to the umbilical cord. You're full of blood. You're not tied to the umbilical cord. It's cut, but it's still hanging from you. Nobody's washed you. Nobody's cleansed you. Well, that's this condition that we must return, as Harry said, to see ourselves back into that condition, that helplessness. And that's a hard one to make palatable until you see your own until your own iniquity be found to be hateful.
I mean, you know, in verse 1 it talks about there's no fear of God. I mean, it just clicks in me that, I mean, that's really the key, because, I mean, in me, it's almost like a kid, you know, like you use the disabled analogy, having a kid that is doing something and they know it's unprofitable, or they know it's something, whatever, but they think they can, it doesn't come to their psyche immediately because they know, you know, the parent's not there, going to be there to beat them. I mean, it's that kind of a, or not beat, I mean, that sounds weird, but it's
correct.
Yeah. Understanding the fear of God, that when once you embark, even for a second, on that path, that, you know, the weight of,
well, let's go look at
him
that.
Is against you or whatever.
Let's go look at Ezekiel 16.
It doesn't matter if your parents catch you.
I know, but it's that kind of sloth that I get into, where, you know, it takes me, you know, I wait for the exhortation, or I wait even though I know in my heart that it's not necessary, that, you know, I know the solution.
God, there's 63 verses in Ezekiel 16. I was going to read the whole.
Read the whole thing?
But starting verse 1. Again, the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, Son of man, cause Jerusalem to know her abominations, and say, and again, you must say, we are Jerusalem. You understand that? Corporately. And say, thus saith the Lord God unto Jerusalem, thy birth and thy nativity is in the land of Canaan, is of the land of Canaan. Thy father was an Amorite, and thy mother a Hittite. And as for thy nativity, in the day thou wast born, thy navel was not cut, neither wast thou washed in water to supple thee, and thou wast not salted at all, nor swallowed at all. None I pitied thee to do any of these unto thee, to have compassion upon thee, but thou wast cast out into the open field to the loathing of thy person in the day that thou wast born. Now, the loathing of thy person is, loathing is a word, disgust is a better word. Until your own self, until you are disgusted with your own self, with your own incessant attempts to get it right, your own, you know, your own little schemes and plans and agendas, you know, all of the, your own little worries, your own little concerns. All right? When I passed by thee and saw thee polluted in thine own blood, I said unto thee, when thou wast in thy blood, live. Yea, I said unto thee, when thou wast in thy blood, live. And so that's what he's saying unto us. But you can't hear his voice until you hear and see your own mischief, your own iniquity. It's impossible. It's not whether you should or shouldn't. It's that you can't. Now, we have a world, we exist in a world that even in the name of God teaches iniquity, teaches mischief, teaches how to. And so, are we surprised that, I mean, so all the world can do now, all the Christian, the religious world can do is try to solve world problems. Am I communicating here, this vast difference?
I'm trying to follow some blasphemy.
Huh?
How the teaching of...
All the world does is, all the Christian world is doing, if you listen to them, is teaching you how to either be saved, and they don't know what that means, or how to not to have abortions, or how not to...
Have any problems.
Yeah. All right.
I can't believe how strong this is. I mean, God, your father's a Canaanite, an Amorite, your mother's a Hittite, you were born, you were thrown away to die, and I walked by and said, live. Yeah. And anything, I mean, to not know, anything other than knowing that is, I can't believe this.
Can us go to Ezekiel 11? Since we're in Ezekiel. Moreover, the Spirit lifted me up and brought me unto the east gate of the Lord's house, which looketh eastward. And behold, at the door of the gate, 25 men, among whom I saw all these guys. Then said he unto me, Son of man, these are the men that devise mischief and give wicked counsel in this city or in this place, which say it is not near, let us build houses, the city is the cauldron, and we be the flesh. But anyway, these are the men that devise mischief and give wicked counsel in this city. Now stop a minute and think. I haven't had what a lot of you have had, namely a Christian experience or growing up or going to church and all that. But if each of the bodies are considered, each of the churches are considered a body, then the teaching, I hate to be one of the ministers that is, you know, that devise mischief and give wicked counsel. Go back to Psalm 55. Psalm 55 is like, it's what's necessary, what you have to go through in order to get to this point, okay? Give ear to my prayer, O God, and hide not thyself from my supplication. Attend unto me and hear me. I mourn in my complaint and make a noise because of the voice of the enemy, because of the oppression of the wicked. For they cast iniquity upon me, and in wrath they hate me. My heart was sore pained within me, and the terrors of death have fallen upon me. Fearfulness and trembling are come upon me, and horror hath overwhelmed me. And I said, Oh, that I had wings like a dove, for then would I fly away and be at rest, and then would I wander far off and remain in the wilderness. I would hasten my escape from the windy storm and tempest. Destroy, O Lord, and divide their tongues, for I have seen violence and strife in the city. Day and night they go about it upon the walls thereof. Mischief also and sorrow are in the midst of it. Wickedness is in the midst thereof. Deceit and guile depart not from her streets. For it was not an enemy that reproached me, then I could have borne it. Neither was it he that hated me that did magnify himself against me. Then I would have hid myself from him. But it was thou, a man my equal, my guide and mine acquaintance. We took sweet counsel together, and we walked unto the house of God in company. Anyway, back, it's in verse 10. Day and night they go about it upon the walls thereof, mischief also, and sorrow are in the midst of it. Avin, mischief, self-seeking, having self as the subject of the sentence. All right, Psalm 62. No, Psalm 59, I'm sorry. Deliver me from mine enemies, O my God. Defend me from them that rise up against me. Deliver me from the workers of iniquity, and save me from bloody men. Okay. Psalm...
Da, 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 da.
Yeah. Psalm. I said that. Psalm. Psalm.
Psalm.
Psalm. Let me, we're going to talk about this a great deal tomorrow night in stealth, but I know we're going to do it bananas, whether the other groups decide to do it or not, I would probably guess they'll probably follow the suggestion, but...
No doubt.
What?
No doubt.
Do I hear another list coming?
That's what I hear, Michigan.
I hear another list coming.
No. No, it is... What we need to do is to spend the time now until next Passover to return to an understanding of what the basic first principles of the doctrine are.
Oh.
And so this is the idyllic time to, if you have people that you think might be interested, or remember I talked about doing it on Monday, just start, but it has struck me that there's a whole lot of the first principles of the doctrine of Christ that there's a lot of people that have never heard, because they came here at different times. And some of you that have been here for a long time
never heard.
Never heard. Okay. Psalm 62. Okay, Psalm 62 is where you arrive at when you, after you have done this thing about, you, what did we say?
Oh, it's kind of, you hate yourself, at least in your own sight, or hateful in your own sight.
I just lost
something
it.
Something like that.
Oh, Psalm 36.
55 is the one you said that this is.
I know. But for he flattereth himself in his own eyes until his iniquity be found to be hateful. Okay? When you find that the iniquity is hateful, then you can read Psalm 62. Truly my soul waiteth only upon God. Goes to God for every smallest detail. Whether it's food, whether it's clothing, whether it's never again devising the mischief in your mind. Okay? Now, do you understand? I hope I can convince you of how rare it is to do this. Of how to have come to the knowledge that you hate this, the propensity, the natural feeling that you have of having to solve the problem. Having to do something about it. Okay, truly my soul waiteth only upon God, for him only cometh my salvation. Now salvation is a word that's, it's not salvation like I'm saved, and it's salvation meaning deliverance out of anything that you consider negative at any given time. He only is my rock and my salvation. He is my only defense. I shall not be greatly moved. How long will you imagine mischief against a man? You shall be slain, all of you, as a bowing wall shall ye be. Bowing wall shall ye be, and as a tottering fence. Obviously, the mischief is in verse 3. Now, to imagine mischief, that's not too different. That's not two words there. How long shall you aven against the man, God? Okay? Aven here is translated as imagine mischief. All right? Now, 64. Hear my voice, O God, in my prayer. Preserve my life from fear of the enemy or of the evil one. Hide me from the secret counsel of the wicked, one, from the insurrection of the workers of iniquity, who whet their tongue like a sword, and bend their bows to shoot their arrows, even bitter words, that they may shoot in secret at the perfect. Suddenly do they shoot at him and fear not. They encourage themselves in an evil matter, the commune of laying snares privily. They say, who shall see them? They search out iniquities, they accomplish a diligent search, both the inward thought of every one of them, and the heart is deep. But God shall shoot at them with an arrow, suddenly shall they be wounded. So they shall make their own tongue to fall upon themselves, and all that see them shall flee away. And all men shall fear and shall declare the work of God, for they shall wisely consider of his doing. The righteous shall be glad in the Lord and shall trust in him, and all the upright in heart shall glory. Obviously, the operative word there in verse 2, hide me from the secret counsel of the wicked, from the insurrection of the workers of iniquity. What is this insurrection? Can you see the moment you devise the plan? You have the agenda. Mm-hmm. It's insurrection against God. The moment you return to Ed's life, it's insurrection.
Take my thought for Ed's life.
You got it? All right, Psalm 66. Do you understand when you search out this one word, this mischief or iniquity here? You mean it's all over the place. It's like when we first studied groves, and you find out you open the Bible and the Old Testament, and it seems like every other word is a grove. Or when we studied green trees, and all of a sudden everything is a green tree here. Okay, let's quit.